The epistle appointed to read for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from which Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were sat down. In like manner also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up therefore and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that has come into the world. Jesus therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. These are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whenever we see our Lord performing miracles and we read about them in the sacred scriptures, we can see in them 3 very distinct motives by which they are wrought. The first motive is to relieve the particular want or to remove some evil that is the physical basis for performing the miracle, such as today in the gospel of today. It is satisfying the hunger of the famished multitude. But the second motive is that miracles are a proof that our divine Lord used to prove his divine mission, as in the case today. St. John tells us that the effect that the miracle had upon the multitude is that they cried out. They cried out and they said, Truly, this is of a truth, the prophet that is come into the world. And the third motive is that every miracle is a symbol, is a type, a figure, if you will, of still more marvelous things which our Lord works on behalf of the souls of men. That is, the external miracle is a type of the miracles that our Lord works in the supernatural order. And in this case today, of the feeding of the multitude in the desert by the multiplication of the loaves, it's a type of the marvelous nourishment of our souls by the very bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. The reason is obvious why Holy Mother the Church has given us this gospel for our devout meditation on Laetare Sunday today. Because in the gospel we read the Pasch is near at hand. That is the Catholic Pasch, not the Jewish one, which was but of a figure, but the true, real Pasch is near at hand. And this true and real Pasch, in which the Lamb of God, the incarnate Word, is to be sacrificed, and not only sacrificed, but consumed by the faithful. If the once chosen people of the Old Testament, that is the law of Moses, were bound by a strict obligation to sacrifice and then eat a paschal lamb, the lamb of which was only a figure of the true Lamb of God, how much stricter is the obligation that binds us Catholics to assist at the sacrifice and to partake of the communion of the Immaculate Lamb of God who is slain and yet lives. This Immaculate Lamb of God, whose life-giving flesh is multiplied daily upon our altars, whose life-giving blood is mystically shed on every Mass that we pray for our salvation. And since the benefits we derive from a participation in these holy mysteries depends in great measure on the manner in which we prepare for them, then we should be prepared and consider the subject of the Holy Eucharist as a noble preparation for when we receive Holy Communion. Who is it that we receive? What are we preparing to do? We are preparing to receive into our souls the very life of which we hope to participate in heaven, to have a co-union with the very Son of God. Because we know by our faith the Holy Eucharist contains the body and the blood, the soul and the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh. And since the sacred humanity is inseparable from the divinity, we necessarily receive together with the human nature the divine nature of God. We receive God, the divinity, into the altar of our hearts. And we do not receive the body separately or fragmentally, nor the blood only in portions, in that gross carnal sense in which the Jews understood our Lord in a certain sense in his memorable discourse, which we read farther on in the 6th chapter of St. John. But we receive our Lord wholly and undividedly for each and every one of us. Just as in the gospel today, the multitude did not eat 5,000 different loaves of bread. They ate the same 5 barley loaves that were multiplied for each one of them to have the same bread. And the fishes, they weren't 10,000 fish that they ate. It was 2 fish. Those 2 fish were multiplied for the satisfaction of the corporal needs of the multitude. And so it is in the Blessed Sacrament. Each and every one of us receives wholly and undividedly the very Son of God. There is no one who can deny, this is a great mystery. It exceeds the very limits of our finite understanding. But even though we cannot understand it, it does not mean we do not believe it. It is the very central belief of Catholics. We come into our chapel and we genuflect, we reverence the Son of God. And when we come into the chapel, do we realize what we're doing? Do we simply, out of routine and rote habit, come and make a hasty bending of the knee and go into the pew? Or do we reverence the very body of Christ that is contained here in this tabernacle? We must not be like the Jews of old, who when they heard that our Lord was going to give them his body as food, They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they turned their back on him and walked no more. We must be like St. Peter and have St. Peter's faith. Because then our Lord turned to St. Peter and said, "Will you also go away?" And St. Peter boldly said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." In other words, "Lord, we believe. We don't understand, but you have the words of eternal life, and we believe." This is the foundation of our religion, our faith. We live in God and for God, and our faith that we go to God. Without faith, St. Paul says, it's impossible to please God. Faith essentially consists in what is not seen, and we do not see the body and blood of Christ, and yet we believe. And therefore, the greater the mystery, the greater must be our faith. Just as the multitude that was fed miraculously in the desert, as we read in the gospel today, so the multitude of the faithful are spiritually nourished in the desert of the world today with the Holy Eucharist. And my dear faithful, not many of the multitude are fed, because the holy sacrifice of the Mass is reserved now for a few. And we have the privilege of being present at the true sacrifice of the Mass. We are among those few. And as long as we live in this world, we are in exile from our true home. And God has made ample provision for us in our spiritual life. My dear faithful, we have left the cares of the world outside, and we are here to worship Almighty God and to have a union with Him. We are here to see Him sacrificed on the altar of Calvary, and we are to receive Him worthily into our souls. Providence has provided for us the means by which we can get to heaven. And yet it is a wonder. It is a wonder how many do not relish the food of their souls. They prepare themselves not during the week to come and receive the ample gift from God. They do not nourish their souls during the week by God's grace to keep themselves in the state of sanctifying grace so that when Sunday comes, they can provide the very life-giving sustenance to their souls. We're Catholics. We believe in the presence of Almighty God. And yet, do we really believe? Do we honestly, truly believe? By our actions and by our comportment during the week, that our souls are the altars in which we receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires to unite Himself with us. There have been saints who have been devoted to the mystery of the great mystery of the Holy Eucharist, and they found such relish in the heavenly food that they need no corporal nourishment. And yet there are others not saints, yet they are Christians. They're like the Hebrews who loathe the manna which was sent from heaven, and they actually long for the flesh pots of Egypt. And so these Christians are so taken up with the gratifications and the senses of the pleasures of the world that they do not relish the sweetness of the Eucharistic food. And how many manifold benefits God has given to us in the Blessed Sacrament. My dear faithful, the Pasch is at hand. The Catholic Pasch is at hand at every sacrifice of the Mass. Not just on Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the first Catholic Pasch, in which our Lord rose gloriously from the dead. Our Paschal Lamb is immolated in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we have the opportunity, the privilege, to eat of the Catholic Pasch as often as we wish. Relish the food remember that our Lord gives himself in Holy Communion. But he gives himself to those whom he has given the Catholic faith. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.